In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When you get the answer you want, smile and walk away happy. This is advice that the rich man in today's gospel reading would have done well to heed. In today's reading from Mark's gospel, the man comes to Jesus to ask him one of the most central questions in the religious life. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus answers him straight away by listing off several of the Ten Commandments. Notice that the commandments Jesus mentions are the ones that have to do with how we relate to each other, rather than those that deal with how we relate to God. And I'm not quite sure what that's about. Perhaps it implies that if you're treating your fellow human beings with love and compassion and respect, you're likely to be in right relationship with God. But that's just an educated guess. Feel free to debate me about it after church. But in any case, after Jesus tells the rich man that following these commandments will lead to eternal life, the man could have smiled and said, "Thank you, Rabbi," and walked away happy. Because it's clear from what the man says that he's kept all those commandments since his youth. He's home free. It's as if a 5-foot-tall kid wants to go on a ride at Disney World and asks the guy staffing the line, "How tall do you have to be to get on this ride?" And when the response comes back, 4'8", the kid should say, "Great," and hop on. Yes? Well, in today's gospel passage, no. Instead of smiling and taking his leave of Jesus, knowing that eternal life was his, the rich man senses that there is something more, something further that he should do, something beyond just adhering to the rules. And so he says to Jesus, "I have kept all these commandments since my youth." And then stays next to Jesus, sensing that Jesus might have something more to tell him about this life and the next. And of course he does. The very next thing that the gospel says is, Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing." The implication is that because Jesus had love in his heart for this man, he told him there was something more he should do. Just a small thing, trivial really, and that was to sell everything he had, give his money to the poor, and follow Jesus. At that point, one has to imagine that the rich man wishes he had quit while he was ahead, once he'd received the answer he wanted. Just upset, just like that. Because whatever plans the man had for the rest of the day, they didn't involve selling all his possessions, giving the money to the poor, and following Jesus. In fact, the gospel says that the man was shocked by Jesus' words and went away grieving. Now, we have every reason to believe that this was a good man. He was no Pharisee or Sadducee, but he still went away from his encounter with Jesus grieving, presumably because he was so attached to his possessions. Now, over the centuries, many Christians have taken these words of Jesus to the rich man in today's reading from Mark literally, and they have sold their possessions, given the money to the poor, and lived a life of simplicity as followers of Christ. St. Francis of Assisi, whose feast day was 1 week ago, was just one of the countless men and women who have forsaken their wealth and privilege to live a life of poverty and service. But there are also countless other Christians who have heard this gospel passage and have made changes in their lives in order to live closer to Jesus, even without giving away everything they own and becoming monks or nuns. And they do so because great wealth can be a problem for two reasons. The first is that the concentration of wealth in the hands of the few often means that many others have less, and as a result, the poor suffer for lack of the necessities of life. If you want to follow Jesus and you have wealth, you should put it to work for the benefit of others, especially those in need. The second reason that wealth can be a problem is because it's so darn enticing. I had a friend once who used to say in his thick Tennessee drawl, and I won't try to do that accent, money won is sweeter than money earned. And almost all of us know how captivating money can be, even if it's just a few $100 left to you by your great Aunt Martha, or a dollar you found on the sidewalk. In fact, money can be so enticing that it can drive us to distraction. And when we are distracted, we are not focused on Jesus and the gospel. Now, other things can distract us too, of course, from status to lust or any of a number of things, some of which aren't necessarily bad as such, except when they distract us from following Christ. Now, the very last thing that Jesus says to the rich man today is, come and follow me. This is the takeaway from Jesus' words in today's gospel passage. Come and follow me. And that is hard to do if you are focused exclusively on the accumulation and retention of wealth. It is easier to do if you give away at least a portion of what you have to help others. The rich man grieves when he hears what he must do to gain eternal life because he thinks it will mean misery in this life. In fact, following Jesus and following him specifically by sharing what you have with others and placing your trust in him is a blessing not just in the next life, but in this one as well. Jesus says of those who forsake their reliance on wealth, quote, for my sake and for the sake of the good news, will receive 100-fold now in this age, and in the age to come, eternal life. The rich man's mistake wasn't failing to walk away from Jesus as soon as he got an answer that satisfied him. His mistake was in not trusting that Jesus cared not only for his eternal soul, but also for his life here on earth. Focusing on Jesus and God's people will be good for you in heaven. It's also good for you in Cranston, or wherever you live, or whoever you are. Because as Jesus says to his disciples, with God, all things are possible. Amen.